Praise the Lord. Greetings to you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wish to thank the Almighty God for giving me this privilege to discuss on the topic Synoptic Gospels and lead you through a deeper study of God's Word, primarily from the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I pray that the Lord will give you fresh insights from the Holy Word and allow you to understand the deep hidden secrets that are within the Word of God. Lesson number one, Introduction to Synoptic Gospels. The Synoptic Gospels and John. The first three Gospels are called synoptic, that is, seen together, a general view, because combined, they present a general and harmonized view of Christ's life as distinguished from the Gospel of John, who writes for Christians as an eyewitness and for a special purpose. The word synoptic means to give an account from the same point of view. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are similar in the miracles, parables, and teachings of Christ included in the books. This does not mean that they are identical. Often that which is found in one is not found in the other. Also, even the same events are told with a slightly different viewpoints that helps us see the entire story, which we will discuss at a later stage. However, the similarity is more than that is usually found in three independently written biographies of the same person. And this is the reason that we refer to the Gospels according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke as the Synoptic Gospels. Now the question arises that what is the necessity of four different Gospels? We need to know that the fact is that there exist four separate and mainly, if not absolutely independent Gospels, that is really a great blessing to all the Christians all around the world due to the following three reasons. Number one, it furnishes Christians with such a great deal of independent contemporary testimony as is needed to substantiate the vast majority of events in ancient history. It is like a fourfold cord which is not easily broken. Number two, Jesus is presented to us from different points of view, each different yet each of the same. Each is like a separate mirror that takes in the sight presented to it, but all disclosing in lifelike harmony one grand person. Even a man cannot be understood when seen from one point of view, how much less the Son of God himself. Number three, it is this fourfold view that presents Jesus as the Savior of all men, of all races, of all tendencies of thought. In the Old Testament, when we study Ezekiel's vision of the four cherubims, or otherwise mentioned as four living creatures in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 4 to 10, we read like this in the New King James Version. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of a burnished bronze. The hand of a man was under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, and each one went straight forward. Now please pay attention to the next verse, which is verse number 10. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man, each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side, each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had the face of an eagle. These four faces can be symbolized as the portrayal of Jesus Christ as found in the four Gospels. The Gospel of Matthew is the Gospel of the Jews, the Gospel of the past, the Gospel that is seen in Christianity as a fulfillment of Judaism, the Gospel of Discourses, and the Gospel that represents Christ as the Messiah of the Jews. In the Gospel of Matthew, his emblem is a man, expressing the kingly and human characteristics of Christ. The second Gospel, which is the Gospel of Mark, is the Gospel of the Romans, the Gospel of the present, the Gospel of the incident, the anecdotal Gospel, and the Gospel that represents Christ as the Son of God and the Lord of the world. In the Gospel of man, his emblem is the lion, expressing courage, dignity, and energy. Luke's Gospel is the Gospel of the Greeks, the Gospel of the future, the Gospel of progressive Christianity, the historic Gospel, the Gospel of Jesus as the good physician and the savior of mankind. In the Gospel of Luke, his symbol is the ox, expressing power and sacrifice. Christ's priestly role, as well as his role as a mediator between God and man. The last Gospel, which is the Gospel of John, is preeminently the Gospel of the church, the Gospel of eternity, the spiritual Gospel, the Gospel of Christ as the eternal Son and the incarnate Word. In the Gospel of John, his emblem is the eagle, because he soars to heaven above the clouds of human infirmity and reveals to us the mysteries of the Godhead and the beauty of eternal life that he promises us eternally. Some scholars have spent great amount of energy and ink to explain how Matthew and Luke copied from Mark, or how all the three took much of their information from a source that no longer exists. However, all this fails to get the spiritual meaning of the Gospels and wastes a lot of time. God sometimes allows the Bible writers to refer to extra biblical sources. However, if we believe that the Holy Ghost controls the writings of the text, it does not matter what tools he used to get it written. Here is a general rundown of the four Gospels. Number one, the Gospel of Matthew. This book is especially written to the Jews, and it presents Christ as the King of the Jews. It gives the royal genealogy of Christ to prove him to be the messianic line of David. He gives the Sermon of the Mount, which we see in the chapters of Matthew from 5 through to 7, as the rule of life for the kingdom. The second Gospel, which is the Gospel of Mark, and in this Christ is portrayed as a servant of man. Mark is the shortest of all Gospels and has the least teaching from among the four Gospels. However, it is a book of action, using words like straight away. The birth of Christ is not mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. However, what Mark has tried to portray is the ministry of Jesus in his fullest extent. The third Gospel is the Gospel of Luke. And in this, Luke shows Jesus Christ to be the Son of Man. In his humanity and in his understanding of man is emphasized to the fullest extent. The genealogy of Christ in Luke goes back to Adam. Luke is filled with the teachings of the disciples. Subjects like prayer are mentioned more in Luke than in any other Gospels. The fourth and the last Gospel is the Gospel of John. And in John, Jesus is presented as the Son of God. This book begins with the identity of God and his work in creation. John clearly states the purpose of his book. In John chapter 20 and verse 31, and we read like this: "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." John was written to identify Jesus Christ as the Son of God and to lead others to believe in him in order to have eternal life. For the next few minutes, let me make some comparisons between these four Gospels, and this is very interesting. If you take the number of chapters in each Gospel and we multiply the chapters, we come to a figure that is very, very interesting. In the Gospel of Matthew, there are 28 chapters. And if you study the Gospel of Matthew, we see that there are four chapters that describes an earthly view and seven chapters that describes heavenly view. Multiply 4 by 7 and you come to 28. In the Gospel according to Mark, which has 16 chapters, there are four chapters with an earthly view and four chapters which show the earthly work of Jesus. You multiply 4 by 4 and you arrive at the number 16. Gospel of Luke, there are 24 chapters. 4 showing the earthly view, and if you take 6 chapters which shows the humanity of Jesus and you multiply them 6 times 4, it gives us the 24 chapters. And the Gospel of John, which gives us 21 chapters, you see 3 chapters showing the divine view and 7 chapters reflecting the heavenly work of Jesus. You multiply 3 by 7 and you arrive at the 21 chapters. Now let us look as to where the Gospel begins with the life of Christ. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew begins with Abraham and David. And we see that in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Gospel of Mark begins with his baptism, which we see in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Gospel according to Luke begins all the way from the first man, which is Adam. And we see that in Luke chapter 3 and verse number 38. The Gospel of John, however, begins from the beginning of time. And we see that in John chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now let us do a comparative study as to who the main audience is for each of these Gospels. The Gospel of Matthew is written to the Jews in particular. The Gospel of Mark is written to the Gentiles in particular. The Gospel of Luke is written to the saved in particular. And the Gospel of John is written to the lost in particular. Let us examine the miracles that are recorded in each of these four Gospels. Matthew records 20 miracles, out of which 4 are exclusive to the Gospel of Matthew. Mark records 18 miracles, out of which 2 are exclusive to the Gospel of Mark. Luke records 19 miracles, out of which 6 are exclusive to the Gospel of Luke. And John records only 8 miracles, out of which 6 are exclusive to the Gospel of John. There is one interesting point here. Only the miracle of the feeding of 5,000 is found in all the four Gospels. John has the fewest number of miracles, but the greatest percentage of exclusive miracles, which 6 out of the total 8. Now let us look at the parables that Jesus spoke in comparison to the four Gospels. Matthew records 27 parables that Jesus spoke, out of which 15 are exclusive. Mark records 10 parables, out of which 2 are exclusive to the Gospel according to Mark. Luke records 28 parables, out of which 19 are exclusive to the Gospel of Luke. And John records only 2 parables, but both are exclusive. We should note here as a point of reference that John does not commonly use parables as a teaching tool from Jesus. Let me make a brief introduction about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are referred to as the Synoptic Gospels. The four Gospel books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell the dramatic story of Jesus, the Son of God and our Savior. His birth, his parables, and other teachings, his love for all people, his miracles, his triumphs, his disappointments, his conflicts, the prayers that Jesus made, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, his resurrection and ascension to heaven are all narrated in the Gospels. However, we see that there is a certain amount of synopsis between three of the four Gospels. When we look around, we see almost everything we know about Jesus' life, ministry, teachings, death, and resurrection comes from these four Gospels. Both Matthew and Luke recount Jesus' birth in the city of Bethlehem, in what is now southern Israel. He spent his youth and early adulthood in the city of Nazareth, in the land of Galilee. Almost nothing is known of this period of his life except for the incident in the temple, as is recorded in Luke chapter 2 and verse 41 through to 51. At the age of 30, Jesus was baptized in the river Jordan by John the Baptist, and he begins his public ministry. He selects 12 disciples who would carry on his ministry after him. He travels through the regions of Galilee, Samaria, and Judea in Palestine, teaching in the synagogues and speaking to the crowds of people who followed wherever he went. He preached about the kingdom of God, repentance, and love for all people. The Gospels tell us how he healed the sick wherever he went and how he performed many miracles during his brief span of life. We know that Jesus was very critical of the hypocrisy and of the religious leaders of his time. He said that they observed the letter of the Jewish law but defiled its spirit by living lives of greed and sin. These religious leaders plotted to kill Jesus and eventually forced the Roman governor, Pilate, to order his crucifixion on Friday on the eve of Passover. The Gospel tells us that Jesus arose from the dead on the following Sunday, and he remained on the earth for another 40 days before ascending into heaven. Jesus himself said he was the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, who was awaited by the Jews. He said that his death and resurrection were all part of God's mysterious plan for our salvation. Here is a brief synopsis of the history of the Gospels as is available in the pages of history. In the year 532 AD, a monk named Denis La Petite calculated that Jesus was born in the Roman year 753, and that year was gradually adopted as the year 1 AD by the Christian countries. However, it is now believed that Denis miscalculated and Jesus was actually born between the 6th and the 4 BC or before Christ. From the accounts of the Gospel, Jesus was probably crucified, resurrected, and ascended to the heavens in the year 29 or 30 AD. Saul, a fierce persecutor of Christians, had a dramatic conversion experience around the year 35 AD. And we see that in the book of Acts, chapter 9 and verses 1 through to 19. He changed his name to Paul and became the first and the most influential interpreter of the Christian message. The Gospel message was preserved in oral form for many years before being written down. Bible scholars believe that the letters of Paul are the oldest books of the New Testament, written between 50 and 60 AD. Mark was written about 70 AD and about 40 years after Jesus was crucified. Matthew and Luke were written about 80 and 90 AD. Finally, the Gospel of John appeared in its final form around 95 AD. Bible scholars believe that Matthew and Luke incorporated much of the material from Mark into these Gospels. They also included unique materials of their own plus common material from a presumed source called Q, from the German Quill means source, which has not been preserved. Because of their similarity, Matthew, Luke, and Mark are called the Synoptic Gospels. From the Greek word synopsis means a seeing together. All the four Gospels are anonymous in the sense that none mentions the author's name. The traditional names Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not become associated with these writings until the 2nd century. Whether or not these men were actually authors is very controversial. For convenience, however, we'll refer to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John as they were true authors and as is mentioned in the Holy Scriptures. The Synoptic Gospels read like a biography of Jesus, but that was not their original purpose. Neither was they written as history books or as books of the Christian Bible. Instead, they were first used in the early Christian churches as devotional materials, much like sermons. The human authors of this book selectively picked materials to include, rearrange and present it in a way to suit their devotional purposes. Therefore, we have been to be content with gaps in their knowledge of Jesus' life and with some inconsistencies in places, names, times and other details of the events narrated in the Gospels. However, we get a very similar big picture of Jesus' life and work from all the four Gospels. And we are fortunate to have these four big windows to see from four views of the central event of Christianity: the birth, life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me conclude my first lesson here. Like the Ezekiel's cherubims, as we read in Ezekiel chapter 1, or the four living creatures, the Gospels are four in number. Like them, they are the chariot of God who sits between the cherubim. Like them, they bear him on the winged thrones into all the lands. Like them, they move wherever the Spirit guides them. Like them, they are marvelously joined together, intertwined with coincidences and differences, wing interwoven with wing and wheel interwoven with wheel. Like them, they are full of eyes and sparkle with heavenly light. This is the conclusion of lesson number one, which speaks about the introduction to the Synoptic Gospels. Next, we will go in detail between the relationship of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. May God bless you.